Next week's Democratic National Convention in Boston will in all likelihood be a very well-scripted affair. One thing Republicans and Democrats agree on in these fractious pre-election days is their desire to keep their nominating conventions on message. That hasn't always been the case. There have been times when the parties have had to throw out the script. Commentator and former CBS TV anchorman Walter Cronkite recalls a nominating convention that had drama, violence, and surprise in abundance. The 1968 Democratic Convention in Chicago.
It's been 36 years since the Democratic Party has surprised us with a fighting convention. The battle then was over another elective war, the war in Vietnam.
The 35th Quadrennial Convention of the Democratic Party of the United States is now called in session.
As the convention came to order in the International Amphitheater, thousands of anti-war demonstrators were gathering 6 miles away in downtown Chicago. Delegates had no idea what was happening. The amphitheater not only was surrounded by fences and barbed wire, it was isolated from any live coverage from Grant Park. Satellites and portable transmission gear lay in the future. We could have had live pictures, but a telephone worker's strike had blocked installation of telephone lines to our remote camera units. So film and videotape shot in Grant Park had to be hand-carried 6 miles to the amphitheater. A conveniently timed taxi strike further immobilized the city. It seemed that the only workers who were not on strike that week were the Chicago police. CBS news trucks suddenly found they weren't allowed to park near the hotels. Cameramen weren't allowed to stand on the sidewalks. And motorcycle couriers rushing videotape to the amphitheater risked arrest and detention. The press had become a secondary police target. In the anchor booth just above the convention floor, I had the best seat in the house. Yet I never felt more trapped.
It's now 7:30. The sun is setting in the west, and I'm looking directly east over Lake Michigan. Right across the street is...
The sting of tear gas was floating up to the fifth floor of the Hilton Hotel, where CBS engineer Fred Turner was testing his portable tape machines.
They're moving in. Wait till I open the window here. Okay. They're moving in now, and the cops are lined up 3 deep. Marched right across Michigan Avenue, and now the cops are moving down towards the hippies. There are 2,000 or 3,000 of this group lining up. We can see trouble brewing. Now the chief's car is surrounding. My eyes are smarting. This tear gas apparently is drifting up this way again. And
a separate march by the Southern Christian Leadership Conference made its way down Michigan Avenue shortly before 8. Demonstrators cheered. The police stood down. There was a brief lull in the tension. Once the march was safely passed, though, pandemonium broke loose.
Only 1,000 or 2. Now they're moving out. Now they're moving in. The cops are moving in, and they are really belting these characters. They're grabbing them. Sticks are flailing. People are laying on the ground. I can see them. Colored people. There's a... Cops are just belting them. There are... The cops are just laying it in. Oh, there's piles of bodies on the street. There's no question about it. You can hear the screams. A few bodies are laying around. The cops are picking them. Hats and shoes. And tear gas, probably, or something going off. There they go. The cops are at them. More men and women down. And there's a guy that just dragging along the street, and they don't care. Don't know whether he's alive or dead. And the police care less. Holy Jesus, look at it. Oh, he's... 5 of them are belting him. Really, oh, this man will never get up. I can't explain the chaos that's taking place down there. The cops are at it again, and here they come into the Conrad Hilton. They're getting the hippies that are on the corner.
Turner's mic picked up the chants of Sieg Heil below.
Daley's police are going to get orders to go again, and when they do, there's not going to be any mercy shown this crowd. It's a shame, but they're deliberately taunting the police. Not that the police don't deserve it. They probably do, because they're the most brutal bunch of cops probably in the U.S. There they go. They're off again. And there goes a group now that is hit. And the tear gas and the cops are at them with the sticks. They can't get out of the way. Fast enough. They can't go fast enough. This thing is beginning to turn my stomach. There's no point in
me. The battle lasted 19 minutes. In the amphitheater, I began to get fragmented reports by phone from CBS correspondent David Shoemaker downtown. Delegates were getting their own reports. Shortly before 9, with motorcycle couriers heading toward the amphitheater, I began relaying the reports from the Hilton. The anti-war demonstrators around the convention hotels,
the Hilton and the Blackstone, particularly at the corners of Balboa and Michigan Avenues here in Chicago, have gotten particularly unruly and are even battling in the lobbies of the hotels with police who've sent for reinforcements. Some windows have been broken, and tear gas, which is being rather liberally used, I gather, has sifted up into some of the upper floors of the Hilton Hotel. And in one of those floors is Vice President Humphrey's suite. Mike Wallace, here at the International Amphitheater, some 5 miles...
In a few seconds, I would learn that the police on Michigan Avenue were not the only ones spoiling for a fight. Mayor Richard Daley's convention security men were just as game and utterly unfazed by the authority of convention officials or the press. The nominating roll call had begun, and Mike Wallace was interviewing a delegate near the CBS booth when suddenly...
There seems to be some kind of battle going on over there.
Yes, there is
Carolina.
A battle going on. If you can get over there, we can see it directly under our booth here. They're carrying a man out bodily by the legs and the arms, fighting there by the Alabama delegation standard. I hope we can get a camera on it for you.
Pardon me?
We're looking right down at it. It's not 15 feet from us. Right in there, they've got a man by the shoulders and by the legs.
Why are you taking the man off the floor?
The Secret Service told us to get him off the floor. He will not show his identity.
Who is the man?
I don't know who he is.
Mike, we can see from up here that there are members of the New York delegation crowding into the aisle to block it, to keep him from being carried out. Here come the Chicago police, helmeted police, trying to fight their way in. There they have pushed and shoved and forced some people off of chairs.
Now comes the strong arm. The Chicago police.
One, two,
three,
four.
The Chicago police are coming in,
Two other police.
They are trying to open the aisle. They have billy clubs out. They're not hitting anybody.
By now, Dan Rather was on the scene. Just as I called him in, I saw a policeman shove Mike to the floor.
Dan Rather?
Blue helmeted police officers.
Yep. Dan, let's let Mike. Whoa, Mike has just been shoved down on the floor there.
This is by far the roughest scene of the convention so far.
Several minutes later, Mike had reached the lobby.
And a whole line of cops gave me the bums rush. I'm being pushed back now.
Push everybody out.
Mike,
I'm right under your booth, Walter.
Yes, Mike, I saw you shoved down by those fellows. I guess they didn't use their fists, but they sure gave you a rough shove.
Then the motorcycle couriers began arriving with videotape from the Hilton. By about 9:30, we started putting it on the air. Delegates watched, first in disbelief and then in rage. Abraham Ribicoff interrupted his nomination of George McGovern and looked Mayor Daley straight in the eye.
And with George McGovern as President of the United States, we wouldn't have to have Gestapo tactics in the streets of Chicago.
Conventions no longer brook such differences. Nostalgia is all we seem to have left of those great brawling sweatshops of American political history, the nominating conventions. For NPR News, this is Walter Cronkite.
You can listen to more essays by Walter Cronkite and see photos from the 1968 Democratic Convention at our website, npr.org.